98.1 KZE. It is MK with you, 4 o'clock on your Thursday afternoon. Delighted to be continuing our series of Sponsor a Cause interviews. Today we have Executive Director Jill Gomez of the Poughkeepsie, New York Children's Cabinet. Jill, hello, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. MK, thank you so much for having me here today. I just wanted to start off by wishing a happy first day of school for all the students in the Poughkeepsie City School District and also to everyone who started school this week across Dutchess County.
That's right. You know, I forgot it was that season, and then driving through Red Hook, I passed by the schools, so and I come in right around when school was getting out. So yeah, I think it was earlier this week. I was like, oh yeah, it's that time again.
Yeah, there's actually, speaking of school buses, exciting things happening in Poughkeepsie. This is the first school year since school busing has become the norm where Poughkeepsie City School Districts actually has busing for all elementary schools.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, Poughkeepsie must be a pretty huge school district, no?
It's about 3,700 kids. Okay. So not huge, but for Dutchess County, definitely, I believe, the largest.
Yeah. All right. Well, tell me a little bit about the Children's Cabinet. What do you guys do?
Sure. Well, the Children's Cabinet, everything that we do is guided by our North Star, which is by 2033, 5,000 youth will be connected to cradle-to-career opportunities that are moving them into post-secondary options and opportunities, with a real goal, though, of achieving socioeconomic mobility.
Awesome.
So socioeconomic mobility basically just means that you have the opportunity to make more than your parents. If you grew up low income, that you're moving into the middle class with all of the housing security, food security, and the ability to have a job that pays the bills and allows you to spend time with your own family.
That's fantastic. And that is something that so many people need support for. I mean, I think I recall hearing recently, statistically, that my generation, millennials, are the first generation since like before World War I or something insane to have less than their parents on average. So, you know, this is a societal problem. This is not, you know, the fault of anybody. This is a society-wide issue.
Absolutely. It's systems work. And that's really what the Children's Cabinet is about. So we were founded in 2019. There were three local young professionals who had the opportunity to go to college and start their careers and see really exciting things that were happening across the country, and coming home and wondering how that they could make some of those exciting things that they had seen nationally happen for the youth of Poughkeepsie. And so that was Rob Watson Jr., James Watson, and Kylan Grier. And because Rob Watson at the time was a graduate student at Harvard Graduate School of Education, he was able to work with the other two and bring a group of about 25 civic leaders from Poughkeepsie up to Harvard and talk about what we want collectively for the youth of Poughkeepsie and how can we make that change. I think that one of the things that was really important, and I've spoken to several community leaders that were at that summit, and they all told me that the statistic that really changed their minds about how we think about youth in Poughkeepsie, or really youth anywhere, is this idea that between kindergarten and 12th grade, students only spend about 20% of their waking hours within the school walls. And so that other 80% of the time, they are in the community, they are with their family, they are at their faith-based activities, they are all throughout the places that we think about community. And so to have this artificial separation between the responsibility of a school versus the responsibility of all of us as a community to make sure that our children are having the opportunities to lead thriving lives is really a false distinction. And so that's how the Children's Cabinet came to be, to think about what do we need as cross-sector leaders. So that includes nonprofits, the business community, philanthropy, the county government, the city government, and the school district, to really work together to align those systems that we're talking about in a way that has been done in some communities nationwide, but is really part of a growing field called place-based partnerships.
Awesome. So I think one of the phrases that you used was cradle to career opportunities. And can you tell me a little bit more about like what that means on a kind of grassroots level?
Yeah, sorry, that is a little bit of a catchphrase. But cradle to career really means just like what it stands, what it sounds like. So the idea is from the moment of birth, or maybe even before that, through maternal health and maternal prenatal care, a child needs to be known and followed, and so that every single experience that they have is cumulative in their life. You know, nobody ever said like they had a really great after school program in second grade and gosh, that was it. That changed their trajectory. Now, it's an important part of it. And I will say that, you know, many people do have that transformative experience where there's one program or there's one meaningful adult that really saw them.
Well, and I'm going to interrupt just briefly to say that you might not even know that that was the thing. You know, it's such a conglomeration of all of the things throughout your life that you may not know that like this program in second grade led to this really formative program in sophomore year.
Exactly. And I think that that's part of what Cradle to Career means, is it means that at every stage of the developmental journey of a child, that there are multiple opportunities, that there are multiple adults seeing that child, seeing their strengths, mm-hmm. seeing their interests, seeing their challenges and their needs, and making sure that both are met. So it also is, while it becomes like a catchphrase, Cradle to Career, it's also about taking a strengths-based approach and not just a deficit-based approach, but understanding that every single child needs all of these layered policies, layered programming to programs to support how they grow from, you know, into elementary school, into middle school, into high school, and to really have the vision that post-secondary work, whether it's college or trade school or whatever it is for them, and understand how to connect with those programs.
That is a really important thing, because I think it's very overwhelming for a lot of children and their families as well, to, you know, balancing all of the other things that you have to do to survive in the world, to try to think about how to go about getting into a trade, how to go about applying to college. And I imagine, is that part of what you guys help with?
So we don't actually do specific programming, mm-hmm. right? So one of the things that we're doing now is that we are really focused on data. And so we believe that we need to make data-driven decisions, but that we need to lead with our heart. And so on our website, we have our data dashboard, our Cradle to Career data dashboard, which looks at 7 different benchmarks on the way to socioeconomic mobility. So those are kindergarten readiness, third grade reading, eighth grade math, high school graduation, post-secondary enrollment, graduation, and then thriving wage employment. And so we took last year when we launched that, it really is just a snapshot of the numbers that were available. But right now we're working on a new project where we're going to dig in more deeply to all of those benchmarks to think more about the contributing factors and what is predictive, because all the benchmarks themselves roll up to being predictive of socioeconomic mobility. So that was a long way of answering your question. We are not currently doing that type of, say, college counseling or mentoring, but one of the things that we are looking at is FAFSA completion. Mm-hmm. So there's a very high correlation between the rate of FAFSA completion in any given school district and the rate of post-secondary enrollment. Mm-hmm. And so we're starting to talk to our partners around, you know, how are we talking about the FAFSA? How are we making the FAFSA accessible? How are we knowing that there are very real challenges with the FAFSA, because you need to have your parents' tax forms and you need to have all sorts of information that a 17-year-old can't just sit down at the computer and complete it themselves.
Yeah.
And so how do we lower the barriers so that more students are completing the FAFSA? Because we know, because of what we've seen nationally, that if we're able to get more kids to complete the FAFSA, that's a huge step towards actual enrollment.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there, you guys are looking at a lot of data. Is there a lot of conversation happening around kind of the state of readiness for, the next level? I hear anecdotally from my friends who are teachers that there's been, since COVID especially, a bit of like a backslide in, kind of where students are at in relation to their age range that perhaps is less than we would have expected in previous generations. Is that something you guys have seen, something you're talking about?
Yeah, it's definitely something that we have seen and are talking about. I mean, two of the things that come up a lot in our conversations are around what are the mental health supports that students are able to access. And there's a whole world within mental health. There's a lot of really great programs within Dutchess County, including from the county itself. And then also this idea of the caring adult. So I really believe that in many ways, it all always comes back to this caring adult. Who is seeing the student? Who is knowing what that student needs? And so we are working with, we have several different strategies that I'll talk about in a moment, but I think that we're not specifically right now focused on what happens inside the school day, inside the classroom, but really about how you support that outside of the classroom. Mm-hmm. So when we first started, which was during the pandemic, so the truth is that our first cross-sector meeting in person was in February 2020. And so then everything changed,
right.
And we became more of a resource collector and convener for years during the pandemic, and then started thinking about how do we systematize these resources, right? I will just say very quickly, two of the projects that we've worked on that we're very proud of is to work very closely with the Poughkeepsie School District in the strategy around their successful federal full service school grant, or full service community schools grant. Mm-hmm. So that was $2.5 million over 5 years that came to the district, as well as working very closely with the city of Poughkeepsie on their Choice Neighborhood Initiative grant, which was a $500,000 federal HUD grant. And both of those are continuing to,
that's great,
to be in effect. But so in terms of you know, what do children need outside of school? How are we bridging this gap between community and school? We thought about the cradle to career continuum, and we thought, okay, we can't boil the ocean. We can't do everything at once. And what are the assets that we have in Poughkeepsie? And one of the things that is very prevalent in Poughkeepsie is this incredible group of committed nonprofit leaders who are providing services and after-school spaces. But what we learned when we tried to do a working group report and wanted to ask some questions like how much are we spending, how many seats are there, how many kids are being served, is that there wasn't an out-of-school time ecosystem. Mm-hmm. There was nothing that was really thinking about how do we make sure that every child is served. And so that became our entry point. And I think that that goes back to, you know, what you're saying is like, how do we move forward past COVID? There's a lot of really hard work that has to happen within the classroom, but there's also the social emotional component and these spaces where children can feel the belonging and can think about what their expectations are as well as what their aspirations are for their future. And so we're working very closely with the out of school time providers to really create a full set so to make sure that every child has that opportunity.
Yeah, awesome. If you're just joining us, Jill Gomez is my guest executive director of the Poughkeepsie Children's Cabinet. Where can folks go to learn more about what you guys are doing? Is there any way that folks can help?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, our website is www.pkchildren.org. And one of the things that you'll find on our website is our story. And one thing that I haven't mentioned that I really want to is that we wouldn't be able to do this without the leadership within the city and of Poughkeepsie and Dutchess County. And so our board is actually composed of the county executive, the mayor of the city of Poughkeepsie, and the superintendent of the school district. And that's worked. We're currently Superintendent Ma is the second superintendent we've worked with. Mayor Flowers is the third mayor, and County Executive Serino is the third county executive. So we are incredibly grateful, and I would be remiss if I didn't particularly shout out the three of them for their support and leadership in making sure this cross-systems work continues to move forward. Mm. In terms of support, I mean, we would absolutely love for folks to get involved. I think that there's a couple ways that you can do that. We have an early childhood initiative going on right now, and one of the things that we're doing is distributing gently used books for 0 to 3 year olds. So anyone that has early childhood books and would like to donate them, please get a hold of me through the website. Second is we always welcome donations, which can also be done through the website. And then finally, for your city of Poughkeepsie resident listeners out there, you know, please reach out through the website and ask to be added to our mailing list, because we are going to be doing some community focus groups and really leaning in more into what the community is seeing and wants for their children.
That's great. I mean, yeah, I love, you know, speaking to real people in the community. I think that's the best way to know what's really going on. Yeah. Jill Gomez, again, has been my guest. Poughkeepsie, New York Children's Cabinet. And again, that was pkchildren.com.
.org.
.org. Thank you. Of course, .org. Yeah, this has been another of our series of Sponsor a Cause interviews brought to you by Huguenot Financial Planning. Really appreciate you taking the time to come in, Jill.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And thank you also for this song suggestion. You gave me one I haven't heard before, inspired by the city of Poughkeepsie. Do you know anything about Laura Gibson? Because I don't.
I don't. And the first line of this is staring at the Hudson, which is what always attracts me to it. But actually, I do know she's from Oregon.
Yeah. But, you know, apparently she's ridden the Metro North once or twice. Laura Gibson with one called Lewis on KZE for Poughkeepsie, New York at Children's Cabinet.
Now I'm staring at the Hudson, I am humming to the passing trains. And I no longer miss the silence, but I miss your eyelids flickering. Should we give up the hunt, become the hunted ones instead? Want the bells at St. Mark's keep on groaning when we're dead. Either way, hey, hey. I still leave you every morning just to hide behind a turn of phrase. I still sleep through every chorus. I forget my way across the page. Should we give up the hunt? Become the hunted ones instead. Don't the stairs paint the walls once the levers take in flight? Either way, hey, hey. You no longer come to greet me, were you whispering at my return? Did I lose another baby? Did I lose my mind to chemicals? Did I give up the hunt, become the hunted one instead? The only song I know to write goes, look at me, look at me, look at me. Hey, hey.
KZE, Laura Gibson with a very pretty one called Lewis, going out to the Poughkeepsie, New York Children's Cabinet. Thanks again to Jill Gomez for being my guest today as we chat for the Sponsor a Cause series brought to you by Huguenot Financial Planning. We've got your community bulletin board now. Courtney Barnett when we return on 98.1 KZE.